The Book Club at 91.7 on this Saturday morning. I'm Mark Purcell. Glad to have you along. She's already a number one best-selling author in the UK, and her newest dramatic suspense novel, Alone in the Dark, is a very fine example of why she is so popular. It's an amazing story about human trafficking, kind of like an episode of 24 set at a breakneck pace in the second novel in a loosely connected Cincinnati-based suspense series. Karen Rose is the author of Alone in the Dark and is joining me on the phone. Karen, welcome to the Book Club at 91.7.
Well, thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
So you're already a number one best-selling author in the UK. Why am I only learning about you now, Karen? I love this writing, and I'd never heard of romantic suspense, but this was a story that just swept me in, and the clock kept ticking.
Well, thank you very much. It's a wonderful combination, I think, because people love romance, but people also like suspense, and I like to also incorporate a little bit of teaching, you know, into the book for issues that I might not have known about. And I certainly didn't know that much about human trafficking when I started the book, and I certainly didn't know that Ohio has such an issue with it. So, thank you.
That is something that is brought out in the book, and I was aware of, as an avid NPR listener. I do know that human trafficking is a big problem here in the Buckeye State. What did you find as you were researching for Alone in the Dark?
Well, I found a lot of very interesting statistics. That, you know, I think a lot of people, I knew it happened. You know, I knew it, especially, you know, you hear the stories of, especially of trafficking for the sex trade. You know, you hear about all of that. It always happens someplace else. And you hear about people being trafficked in other countries. But what I didn't realize was some of the statistics, like, I think it's something like 75% of the people who are trafficked into this country from other countries, they come here legally. They're tricked, and they come here on a legal visa. But when they get here, they find out they've been tricked, and they're trapped, and they don't have any choices. And many of them are highly educated. They get here, they're tricked, trapped, and then they feel really ridiculous and embarrassed and ashamed because they feel like they should have known better because they are educated. And it's just a terrible tragedy that they feel like that they are manipulated, they are tricked, and they feel like they have no choices there. But what I didn't realize, and it made sense when I thought about it, was, you know, you think of Ohio as being just a Midwest state.
Flyover state, you know, yeah. Flyover state, yeah.
Exactly. Well, I mean, I lived there for 15 years. I mean, I thought it was just Ohio, you know. It makes sense that it's on I-75. It has access to the highway. That route from Miami to Detroit, the drugs made sense, the drug trade made sense, and the traffic trade also makes sense because there's so many exits when you get off 75 where you drive two hours and you're in the middle of nowhere, mm-hmm. where you could do whatever you wanted and nobody would know. And that's where a lot of this stuff happens, a lot of labor trafficking. And then some of it happens in plain sight. I mean, I was stunned to read a news report where it happened to a family in Blue Ash, where they were trafficked. I mean, these were two highly educated, you know, a husband and wife. They had been, you know, tricked into coming here. I think it was from India, brought their children. And it was in Blue Ash. Their kids went to public school. It was happening in plain sight, and nobody knew. They had a happy ending. When they finally went to the authorities, the Blue Ash community helped them. They became citizens. And I think at the time I read the story, both of their kids were students at UC. So, yeah, they had a happy ending, but so many don't.
Well, you weave this human trafficking aspect into a murder investigation, a family crime saga, as it says. And really, there are all these tendrils that are interwoven. Where was the start of the story in Alone in the Dark? I mean, was it finding out about the human trafficking or just another angle to explore here in your Cincinnati-based series?
Well, it started out with the human trafficking, and there's always a murder investigation in one of my books, and there's usually a fairly high body count in my books, but my editor's like, you can't kill that many people, you have to let some of them live, okay, but the whole issue with the human trafficking, and it was a very serious one. I thought, well, you know, how do these things start? How could someone the notice? How could this chain of events start? So I always try to figure out what's that loose thread that when you yank it, the whole Afghan comes unraveled. And that was how I started the story with the murder.
Garen Rose, her latest romantic suspense novel is Alone in the Dark, the second in a Cincinnati-based suspense series. You can learn more about it at our website, wvxu.org. And I've been having fun, Karen. I know you've already mentioned you lived here in Cincinnati for about 15 years and worked and raised kids here. But why Cincinnati for the suspense series?
Well, I didn't actually start out writing in Cincinnati. Well, I personally, my physical body was in Cincinnati when I started writing, but I didn't set anything there for several series. I think I started out in Chicago. I have one in Philadelphia, I have one in Atlanta, Minneapolis. I mean, I kind of have gone through a lot of big cities. And my editor and I were talking about, well, where will the next series be set? Because I had just finished one in Baltimore, which is my hometown. And I said, well, how about Cincinnati? I live there. And she's like, okay. And it was one of those things that just popped up in conversation. And I thought, you know, this is it's a big enough city that... And I don't know why I never said anything there. I think maybe it was just too close to home. But then I had lived away from it for about 15 years, and it was nice to revisit when I finally did write the Cincinnati series. But, it was more like, yeah, I know that city. I could write a book there. And it just kind of popped up.
Well, I want to ask, for most of your career, you were an engineer. How did you go from engineering to writing, Karen?
Everybody asks that question.
Well, it's just a curious, you know, I mean, I'm not saying that engineers can't write or aren't creative, but it's just an odd jump.
Well, it was interesting because I was never a typical kind of engineer. I was always looking for the job area where I felt most comfortable. And where I ended up at Procter after many years was in quality assurance and working on work processes. You know, how do people interact? What are the steps that have to happen for you to create either a product or a system? And I did that internationally, and I traveled a lot. So the whole thing about going from engineering to writing, I think I was always telling a story. I was telling a story on how people work together and how they interact, you know, on a day-to-day business, mm-hmm. and all the steps. And I've actually used that a lot in my writing. But how I started writing was I was traveling a lot, and I couldn't take enough books in my luggage to read while I was on the road, and I was traveling internationally to, you know, Procter's, their sites in Germany and all over Europe. And there were no e-books back in these days because it was the 90s. And so I think there had been e-books back then, I probably would have just read. I never would have started writing. But I couldn't understand anything on the television. And so I just started writing my own stories to keep myself company. And I told this story once when I was in South Africa, and this lady's sitting on the front row, and she goes, I just would have gone to the bar. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I didn't even think of that. You know, alone. So I'm glad I sat in my hotel room and wrote and didn't go to the bar, because it was a hobby, and it was a secret hobby. Didn't tell anyone for 5 years. Traveled,
wow.
Had my family. My husband knew. One or two friends knew. That was it. Because I thought, you know, people are going to laugh at me. They're going to think, well, that's ridiculous, an engineer writing stories. And so I didn't tell anybody for about 5 years. And then the hobby slowly became bigger and bigger part of my life, and it became a career.
And quite a career. You talk about those previous series, an international bestseller. And as I said, I at the beginning, I was wondering why it's taken me so long to get you on my radar, because this was, you know, I usually enjoy those suspense thrillers and, you know, procedurals, if you may, and this was something that just swept me in.
Well, I'm glad. Thank you.
Why am I taking so long to learn about you? Is it the label romantic suspense? I mean, I won't say I was avoiding it when it was romantic, and I didn't know it was romantic suspense until after I, you know, finished it and started looking into it. But, balance all those storylines very well.
I think there is a misconception among a lot of people that romantic suspense and romances in general are sappy, soap opera-y, you know, you roll your eyes at them kind of thing. And that's really not the case. Really what a romance is, it's a story about people living. And the one thing that you're assured of is that you're going to get a happy ending in the end. That's really the one thing that's common Otherwise, they're all over the map. I mean, we have somebody like me who writes what I like to call a little bit of Law and Order, a little bit of ER. You know, so you've got like all the drama, but you've got the police procedural. You've got just somebody who writes small town America. You might have someone who writes vampires, but they all have that one thing in common: is the happy ending.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that fools a lot of people into thinking that they're not smart and they're not intelligently written, but they are. And that's one of the things that I really, I struggle to speak about intelligently, because it kind of, you know, irks me a little bit that I feel like I have to become defensive about it. So thank you for letting me talk about it. But it's the whole thing about happy endings. I was a teacher for a little while, and I found myself defending myself to teenagers. They thought, happy endings, roll my eyes, you know. I'm like, no, happy endings are good things, and when you're old like me, you're going to understand that. When I finally said that, got through to them, other than, you know, quit arguing with me or I'm going to fail all your butts and you're going to have to repeat your class, the key to any good book, whether it's a horror book by Stephen King or historical or whatever, is giving your reader something that they expect, the happy ending, in a way that's unexpected and fresh every time, so they keep coming back. It becomes a whole new adventure every time they start a new book. So there's the promise, there's the contract. You know, I'm going to read this book, and I'm going to be scared. There's going to be murder. I might cry because people die. There's going to be sad, but in the end, the reward is the happy ending. I do think that whole label of romance is a little off-putting sometimes, but that's really all it translates to be.
Garen Rose talking about her book, Alone in the Dark, the newest in a Cincinnati-based suspense series, with homicide detective Scarlett Bishop and former Army Ranger Marcus O'Banion fighting evil in their own way, one using the law, the other the newspaper he owns. You can learn more about Garen and her work at our website, wvxu.org. I wanted to say this is one of the thicker books that I've read lately. I'm just wondering how you work, Karen. I mean, there wasn't much I would cut. I would say that. I mean, you know, it kept me going the whole way, and you were trying to compress this, you know, real time book into a novel. But what is your writing process? I mean, how do you pour all these words out?
That is my longest book, I have to say that. And they're like, it's great. It's really wonderful. The best thing you've ever written. Don't write anything this long again. So I really have to struggle, because if I let the story just kind of play out and all those little threads, it gets long. And my writing process, I will usually start with an outline. I know who did it. I usually know why. I know one or two high points. I might even see one scene in my head. And it might be in the middle, it might be in the end, it might be in the beginning. It's just one scene. And I kind of work my way to that. And then, like with Alone in the Dark, I could see the book in my head, so I kept writing. Sometimes, though, I get stuck. And this is where the engineer comes back out. And this particular book I'm writing now could be every bit as long as Alone in the Dark. But I'm trying to keep it, you know, be a little bit more controlled.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to rein in the process. But I'll take a pack of sticky notes, which, you know, are every engineer's best friend, and I will start out at the end, and I'll say, well, you know, the villain is defeated, and then for that to happen, this has to happen, and I work my way back, sticky note by sticky note, until I get to either the point where I'm stuck, or in this case, the point where I am, because I don't want to just let it play out. I want to have some control over the scenes, and do it a certain way so I know how long it's going to be. And then I put all those sticky notes in order, and I've had these big boards covered in sticky notes for the last couple of weeks, and I just keep writing until I get to the end of the sticky notes, and then the book is done. So it's kind of a reverse storytelling.
So, Karen, you're coming back to town next weekend as part of the Laurie Foster Presents Her Reader and Author Get-Together. You'll be doing a couple of signings. Talk about what you'll be doing next weekend.
Well, we're going to be doing two big signings that are open to the public as part of a greater three-day weekend where authors and readers just get together, have fun, play games, just chat and all that kind of stuff. But there are two author signings, 80 authors altogether, one on Friday and one on Saturday from 3 to 5. I'll be signing both days. And then a portion of the proceeds go to the Conductive Learning Center of Greater Cincinnati, the school for kids with spina bifida and cerebral palsy. Also, through this weekend, if you ever come as a reader, there's a lot of good raffles, and a lot of the proceeds go to the One Way Farm, a home for abused and abandoned kids, and also the Animal Adoption Foundation, No Kill Animal Shelter. So it's for a good cause, a lot of fun. Come out, meet a lot of authors, and have a good time.
That's at the Cincinnati Marriott North in Westchester Friday and Saturday. Details about the event at our website. Well, wonderful storytelling. Thank you for the story and your time this morning, Karen.
Well, thank you.
Karen Rose, her latest romantic suspense novel, Alone in the Dark, is available where books are sold. Karen will have a book signing as part of the Lori Foster Presents Her Reader and Author Get-Together next weekend at the Cincinnati Marriott North in Westchester. And details on that event on our website as well. This is the Book Club at 91.7.